Hello and welcome to No Directions 2017 Gen Con Seminar Coverage. Special thanks to our Gen Con volunteers, Eric Bring the Knives and Andrew Mullins. For more seminars and other great Pathfinder content, visit NoDirectionPodcast.com.
Hi everybody, this is the Pathfinder Adventure Path Q&A. I'm Adam Daigle. I'm the managing developer at Paizo. I've also worked on the back matter articles and monsters for the Adventure Path for over 5 years, and have been the lead of the Strange Aeons Adventure Path and the Ruins of Aslant Adventure Path that released here at the show.
And I'm Mark Moreland. I'm Paizo's franchise manager. Up until the conclusion of the Ruins of Aslant AP, I have been working on the back matter in, I guess, the last four or five APs. I've done my share of the back matter on those, and so that's all the supporting articles and bestiaries and things like that, and yeah.
I was also a subscriber before I was an employee to the very first, Rune Lords AP.
Yes.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about the adventure path that dropped yesterday at Gen Con, Ruins of Aslant. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the one that's following it, which is War for the Crown, based in Tal'Dor. And then we will announce the one that will be coming out next year at Gen Con. And then we'll open everything up for questions so you can ask about, you know, any of the 22... adventure paths that we have.
He gets my body.
Something, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know the number.
Well, we're at
2 a year.
Yeah?
2 a year for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow.
All right, so Ruins of Aslant. The whole premise of that is that the adventurers were chosen for to move to a colony and help this colony grow. A group called the Bountiful Venture Company paired up with Andoran and financed this whole deal. And it starts with the PCs. They were supposed to be the second wave of colonists. Some colonists already went in there and built buildings and, you know, started planting and everything like that. And the PCs are showing up like 6 months later, or a few months later. And it starts off with them standing on the deck of the ship, and they're looking out over what will be their new home. But there's not people walking around in the little village. There's no smoke coming out of any of the chimneys, and something has gone horribly wrong. So the PCs... Oh, I have to say this every Adventure Path Q&A. There's going to be spoilers here. Sorry. they end up in this, you know, colony that has been completely vacated. And what's that?
Sounds like Roanoke.
It sounds very much like Roanoke.
That's weird. Who, it's just coincidence, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
So that first adventure is called The Lost Outpost. That's written by Jim Groves, and also that has an... Actually, I saw you with a copy of it. Yeah. See, we sold out of that yesterday, so he's
hold
one
that
of the lucky
up so
ones.
Everyone can see it. Yep. You can find that in your local gaming store, not here. Yep.
And we also have, in our display case in the booth, we also have, you can look at the covers of the second and third adventures as well.
Yeah.
Or he has it.
No.
No.
He doesn't.
Yeah, or that. Yeah. Also in that volume, it has a brief little article talking about giving some stat blocks and personalities for some of the other people who came with the PCs across the ocean to the colony. And it's got an Ecology of the Algolthu, which is the big family name for Aboleths, that was written by Greg Vaughn. The next adventure, the one that's going to be coming out next month, is called Into the Lost Continent, and that's written by Robert Brooks. It has a Gazetteer of the Region that I wrote, and a little collection of certain Aslante treasures, weird magic that has been lost for 10,000 years, written by Ron Lundeen. The third one is The Flooded Cathedral, written by Miko Kallio. That has an article where talk about the Aslante pantheon and give some details on some of the gods they worship there. Some of that is how gods that are worshipped in the modern time were worshipped slightly differently back then, but well more than half are just brand new creations.
And that was one of the most, I mean, I've been at Paizo for 7 years. You've been there for, what, six?
A little over five, yeah.
Yeah. The brainstorm of coming up with the gods for ancient Aslant is easily in the top five brainstorms I've ever taken part in. It was a great time.
It's not too often you say, man, I had a really fun meeting.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that article turned out great. And so of the entire AP, I'm most excited to see people's reactions to that.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend picking that up, even if you're not running the AP, because it's not very often you get to, you know, that we get to do an entire pantheon and really figure out all the rivalries and who's friends with whom, and this niche is covered and that isn't and stuff. So that's, yeah.
It's not often that, or, yeah, after that, I went home and was talking to my wife, and I was just like, it's not every day, you know, it's like, you know your job's weird when you can come home and say, yeah, I made up gods today.
Unless you're Elrond Hubbard, in which case it's...
So anyway, moving on. The fourth adventure is called City in the Deep, written by Amber Scott, and that includes a gazetteer of the city in the deep called Talisandri. It also has an ecology of merfolk and an article about the Mordant Spire. Also with Flooded, City in the Deep, there's also a lot of aquatic bits going on in this AP. The fifth adventure is Tower of the Drowned Dead by Ron Lundeen, who's here at the show. Y'all should stop him and tell him that he does great work, because he does. It also includes an article, Secrets of Aslant, written by our own publisher, Eric Mona, and an article about different Aslanti ruins found elsewhere in the Inner Sea. The final adventure is Beyond the Veiled Past, written by Thurston Hillman, also known as Thirsty to a lot of us.
He drinks a lot.
Which you can probably find him over in the Sagamore at this moment.
Yeah, he's our design or developer for the
Starfinder
Society organized play.
And that final volume also has an article about called Awakened from Time, which gives some pointers on how you would play an Aslanti that all of a sudden woke up in modern Galarian. And then this little bit of conspiracy theories with Plots of the Veiled Masters. And, of course, the continuing campaign that we always, always do.
Yeah. So, after that AP, we've got our one coming out in February. And the developer for that, Crystal Fraser, is here at the show, but she's also the lead developer for Green Ronin on their Mutants and Masterminds line. And so she's working their booth, and I guess there was a miscommunication because she didn't make it to this panel.
We lost our crystal.
Oh, no. So I will do my best. Do you have a cheat sheet on that?
I do.
Okay, great.
I prepared.
Yeah, we don't know the back matter on this because that's not on the sheet. But,
yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah. So War for the Crown is a political intrigue AP that takes place in Tal'Dor. A lot of people have been asking for a Tal'Dor AP for a long, long time. So this one, as the name may suggest, is sort of a Game of Thrones style, a bunch of people trying to be the new ruler of Tal'Dor, and your PCs are working for one of them, trying to cement their claim to the throne and ensure that their rivals do not have a leg to stand on or a life to live. So now you just can't kill your enemies. That never works out. So that one kicks off, like I said, in February with Crownfall by Thurston Hillman, which will make him the first AP author to write back-to-back volumes, which is why he drinks so much. After that, we have Songbird, Scion, Saboteur, written by Richard Pett. That is followed by The Twilight Child, written by Ron Lundeen. Then City in the Lion's Eye by Miko Kallio. The Reaper's Right Hand by John Compton. That adventure will take place largely on the plane of Axis. And then we have The Six Legend Soul, concluding the AP. That one's written by Amber E. Scott. And by the end of that, if the PCs have done everything right, there will be a new ruler of Tal'Dorei, and everything will be right in the world.
It's because Stavian's creepy.
Eh.
Inbreeding. What are you going to do? So that's that. Some of the articles that we will have over the course of that, and I'm not sure which volumes they're going to be. I know the first one is going to have a Persona article about a bunch of different personalities that are prominent in Tal'Dorei Senate, because that adventure takes place at a big festival being overseen by Stavian, who's the Grand Prince of Tal'Dorei.
Would you call it a soiree?
No, it's really more of a like ceremony. When common folk are elevated to the nobility, they held this big elaborate ceremony. That's the context for the start of the AP. Things go very wrong there, which sort of precipitates this clash for new leadership. Some of the events in that AP are going to tie directly to the forthcoming Pathfinder Society season that launched here at the show, in which the players of some of those adventures are going to play key roles either leading up to or behind the scenes of some of the events here. So that's going to have a Faces of the Senate article in it. I believe, if not in that volume, at least by the time the AP is done, we will have a full gazetteer of the city of Oparo, which is the capital of Tal'Dorei. We'll also have a full gazetteer of Zamar, which is the heavily fortified city in the south near Kadira's border, and Yanmas, which is a northern northern city on the plains that has a lot of caravans that go out of it. We'll have new articles on what we're calling relics, which are ancient magic items that as you level up, you can unlock. As you do more story-based things with those items, you can unlock new abilities for them. So it's almost like the items are, in hibernation, and as they are used in either similar feats of wonder that gave them their power initially, they become these great,
legacy weapons.
Almost like legacy weapons, but tied to the story rather than tied to the character. So we'll have information on that. We'll have I'm trying to think what else is in it. A psychopomp ecology, an article about resurrection, I think. I don't know. This is the first AP that I'm not directly developing the back matter on. So some of the things that I had originally brainstormed with Crystal may have changed or may not be fully cemented yet. But, maybe she'll show up a little bit later and can answer some of those questions.
So this leads us to announcing what will be out next year.
Do we want to take guesses?
No.
You don't want to let them guess and see if anyone were right?
That's what the internet has been doing.
That was your first problem, was going on the internet.
So I developed Strange Aeons, then Crystal did Iron Fang, then I did Ruins of Aslant, and she's doing War for the Crown, which means James Jacobs has been out of developing AP adventures for, almost a couple of years now. So what I have here is a missive from James, because he chose to stay back in Seattle and not brave the muggy Indiana air. And so I'm not going to be developing this adventure path, but I am going to read, and I'm going to tell you all about Return of the Rune Lords. This is an adventure path that's going to... this completes the Rune Lords trilogy, which began with Rise of the Rune Lords and continued with Shattered Star. It's going to get PCs up to 20th level. People have complained that, it's not satisfying getting up to 16 or 17, so we're going to fix that.
James is going to fix that.
Right.
We're not going to fix that.
Well,
it's James.
We'll get to that. Yeah. It takes place chronologically after Rise of the Rune Lords and Shattered Star, but before Jade Region, which... That seemed like news to me. But
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Some, perhaps all of the player characters who adventured through Rune Lords and Rise of the Rune Lords and Shattered Star will have roles to play in Return of the Rune Lords. So if you played in one of those,
why he's doing it before Jade Regent, because there are characters from Rise of the Rune Lords that he likely wants to be able to play a role.
Each adventure is going to be about 6 pages longer to help us hit this goal. As a result, each volume will feature only 2 support articles rather than 3. While some of the foes the PCs face in Return of the Rune Lords will be mythic foes, the adventure path itself will not grant the PCs mythic tiers. Some secrets about the peacock spirit are revealed in the course of this.
Some incredible secrets.
Yeah. There might be a touch of time travel. You get to fight more than one Rune Lord. And much, much more. He even wrote, and much, much more.
Well, he's basically already written the solicitation text for this, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll run through the titles for the adventures and the authors and the support articles that we kind of have planned right now. The first one, which is Pathfinder number 133, is The Secrets of Roderick's Cove, written by some guy named Adam Daigle. That's going to have a gazetteer of the town in that one, and also an ecology of the Sinspawn. Pathfinder number 134 is... Oh, and that's going to get... He also has that it's 1st to 4th level, but I'm totally writing it as 1st to 5th, so I'm going to have to talk to him when I get back.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's 1st to 5th.
Okay, so he just typoed here?
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is It Came from Hollow Mountain, which is going to be level 5th to 8th. Written by some guy named Mike Shell that happens to be sitting in the back of the room.
He hopes it's being written for 5th level because that's where he's starting it.
Right. It's like, me and Mike are like,
40,000 words right now says it starts 5th.
Right. It's like, have fun developing that, James.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to have a deity article on Ashava, which is one of the Imperial Lords, and talking about the ruins of Zen... Bakrakan, which is the area that used to be led by the Rune Lord of Wrath. The third adventure is called Rune Plague. It goes from level 9 to 11, and that's written by Richard Pett. And it's got an article about Yamasoth, which is the Klipoff Lord.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, who was the patron of the Rune Lord of Wrath, at least the most recent one.
Yeah. And it's going to have an article about rituals of the Rune Lords. The fourth adventure is Temple of the Peacock Spirit. That's probably where you're going to learn about the secrets of the Peacock Spirit. That is written by Jason Keeley, of Starfinder developer fame. it's going to have an ecology about Asuras, and we're not really sure what the other one's going to be. The fifth adventure is The City Outside of Time, written by Amanda Hammond-Kuntz, our development coordinator. And it has an article about artifacts of Thassilon and the Dimmed Plane of Time. The final adventure, Pathfinder number 138, is Rise of New Thassilon. It's going to get you from 18th to 20th, and that's written by Greg Vaughn, and he writes really good, deadly, high-level adventures.
And he hasn't written a full adventure for us in like 5 years while he was in med school.
Yeah. And then we're going to have a Beyond the Campaign and a Gazetteer of Ancient Thassilon. So,
not of New Thassilon?
I don't know. Well, I'm going by what James wrote here. We had the idea for a little ventriloquist act, but I'm
Crystal
really not good at that.
Crystal says she thought that the thing was tomorrow, and she is on booth duty and will not be here.
Okay.
So, but she gives her best.
I miss you, Crystal.
She can't hear you.
Oh. Well, she will later.
Time travel.
All right, so with all that said, let's open it up to some questions. Anyone have any questions? If you don't, then we can all, like, take a break and cut out. Okay, there you go.
So when will there be an opportunity to explore Nex and Geth and the story behind those two nations?
That is a complicated thing. There's a lot of us who would like to do something like that. Like, any of us that do the adventures for the adventure paths, we have like 5 or 6 wish lists at least floating around in our
but
head.
But we can only do 2 a year, and each individual developer who helms can only do 1 a year, unless that they're on a skip year, like Adam will be next year.
And the thing with Nex and Geb, though, is that Nex is our publisher, Eric Mona's, one of his little babies, and he loves that, and he has all of this lore for it, and no time to actually write any of that. So that's one of the reasons that doesn't get on the schedule.
Yeah. So, yeah, we basically... I think he would love for us to do it just because he would like for his pet area to get more time in the spotlight, but he also is precious about what happened. He's got a lot of headcanon about it and wants to make sure that when it's done the way he wants it to be done, and he's got his own, you know, job running the company. So it's hard to find that time. But Nex and Geb are certainly high on a lot of our lists of places we'd like to explore. If not both of them, then at least one or the other. One of the challenges that Geb presents is that it is even more so than like Chelyaks, a place where everyone who lives there is pretty much evil. I mean, they're all undead. And so that can be challenging to set an adventure in, much less 6 adventures, where low-level PCs are really not going to be equipped to handle, you know, life in or unlife in Geb, because the regular citizens are all, you know, CR 8 creatures and higher, you know, and like they're just going to be enslaved at first level into the AP. That's it. They're done. So there's some challenges involved in that. But I think if not in an AP, we certainly want to explore it more.
Okay, yeah. So it's definitely one of the more exciting areas, the whole idea between 2 high-powered casters.
Oh, yeah.
Just having a grudge match.
Forever.
That ended like 2,000 years ago, and the ramifications of which are still being played out because it was such a huge conflict. Like, yeah, that's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
With the Return of the Rune Lords going all the way up to level 20, are you guys going to be using the fast XP track or the medium XP track?
I'm betting that we're probably going to stick with medium. That's the reason the adventures are longer, is basically we can fit more encounters in. And I know just from my own personal experience, one of the things that I've been doing is I have very few encounters that are like, your first level, you're fighting a CR1 encounter. It's like, no, you're fighting 2s and 3s. It's always a little bit more just to like really push that XP because, you know, people won't do every encounter. So I've got to play up basically.
Is there any desire to revisit the idea, like after Emerald Spire's massive undertaking by multiple people on each floor, is there any desire to like revisit the idea of a super dungeon in any future APs?
That's like I was saying about, you know, multiple ideas floating around. That's something that I think could be kind of satisfying. We kind of attempted that with Shattered Star and hit and miss in certain places according to who you listen to. I think it could be fun. I think it would need to be a really good idea and executed really well to appeal to the largest number of people.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly have iconic dungeons within the setting that could fill a, you know, 6-part AP and still leave parts unexplored. We would just... all of the pieces would need to fall into place just right for us to do that, because one of the advantages of the types of APs, or the types of stories we tell with the APs, is that if you like, you know, dungeon crawls, just about every AP has one adventure that's a really in-depth dungeon crawl. So even if you're not running an AP, there's a significant portion of at least that one adventure that you could take and adapt to your own campaign. And to run something that takes place literally in one location for 6 volumes, that's 6 months of our publication that to some people may be completely unusable if they don't run dungeon crawls. So there's a lot more that goes into it than simply the creative, you know, can we tell a story here? But it's also how does this meet the needs of the company and our fan base as a whole? Mm-hmm. But I would certainly love to see some stuff in I don't know, Viper Wall, I could see us doing something, or some of the siege castles around Absalom, or the Tower of Nex, Spire of Nex. You know, like we've got a number of places that we could really do some crazy 6-part dungeon crawls. But doing that in a way that made each volume distinct and feel different from the others is, that would probably be the largest challenge of something like that.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Will all the rune lords be adversaries? Will there be an opportunity to ally with any of them?
I think it's a little too early to be 100% sure on an answer for that.
Yeah. Depends how sinful you are. If you're a paladin, you're probably not going to ally with any of them. But
if you're a jerk, I'm sure you can make buddies with them.
Yeah, you know. Yes?
In War for the Crown, was
it? War for the Crown, yes.
Is that... PCs are trying to put one of their own?
No, the PCs will be acting as agents for Princess Eutropia, who is the only living quote unquote heir to the throne. But Taldor is very steeped in traditions, including very backwards traditions like not allowing women to inherit the crown. So Stavian, while he has a daughter, does not have a direct heir because she is not seen as a legitimate heir. And so for a while, we've sort of been hinting that she wants to change that rule, and there are people who see her as being a good force for Taldor if she were to be in charge, while there are others who just want things to remain in the tradition that they have been, or their alliance. So the PCs are going to be set up from the beginning to be working for Eutropia, so that once the big conflict arises, she is the natural one for them to continue working for, because the other people will be not very good options. But yeah.
Yes. In the Taldor raid be coming out, would there be any interest from, I can't remember how to pronounce the name right, Qadira, yes. Would they have any interest in the AP at all, or would they be just background enemy?
To the best of my knowledge, Qadira does not play an open role in the AP in terms of being one of the political players, you know, trying to manipulate things. I'm certain from a geopolitical standpoint they would have a lot invested in it, but in terms of how they're involved with the PCs, I don't believe they're going to play any role in the AP.
That's more something for the GM to decide if they want that in their campaign.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's a little bit off.
There might be smatterings throughout.
Yeah, there may be certain NPCs that are Qadiran or are working for Qadira, but the major focus is going to be
Taldor's own internal politics.
Yeah, Taldor has a very complex internal politics, and that's enough for a full AP, if not two. So, yeah.
I think you call it the Reaper's Right Hand, the one on Axis.
Uh-huh.
Is that going to include rules from the new planar book? And isn't the Reaper's Right Hand Gix?
Weird. Gix. Yeah, I guess if, you know, we were to do God articles in our APs that we might do one on Thamir Gix, maybe. Norgorber does have his divine realm on the plane of Axis, so his right hand, who's also a god who lives on Axis, might be there. I don't know. These things are shrouded in secrecy.
Well sleuthed, my friend.
As for whether it will use the planar stuff...
Not sure.
I don't know. James is the one spearheading the planar book, so I would imagine he's keeping that in mind, you know, that he knows that it will. But... I don't know what the release date of the planar book is. Yeah, I don't really know a release schedule for those lines well enough to know what the timing is on them. But
it wasn't planned to use that.
Yeah,
but it still might.
Yeah, I mean, if it provides additional rules and options for players to use when on a plane, they will certainly be able to use those options on the plane. And I
I'm almost certain Planar will be out before that volume.
Yeah. So Crystal will be able to incorporate some of it. And if I'm not mistaken, John Compton, who's writing that adventure, may also be writing...
Yes.
Yeah, so he's writing that section of the Planar book. So he'll be able to incorporate some of that on the front end even before it hits development.
Is the new IP going to deal with Karmagat at all?
For the Return of the Rune Lords?
Yeah. Right.
No, Karmagat does not feature...
Yeah, Karmagat was one of the primary locations in Shattered Star. Mm-hmm. So I think with the exception of just a few locations...
I mean, it is still Brissian.
The three APs do touch on a few places where they all, like Magnemar is in all three, but Sandpoint is in
two of them.
Yeah, the new one and yeah. So I'm not sure on that one. I don't think so. It's certainly not one of the like key locations.
Which is sad. It's a rad city.
Yeah. Yes.
Plus giants and rune lords again.
Probably.
Not in mine. It's too low level.
That one.
They all have the small template on them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Little
giants. Yeah.
It sounds like War for the Crown is going to be more this heavier role-playing political intrigue. What's the ratio, I think, between combat and...
I was just talking with Thurston Hillman about it last night, actually, because he wrote the first volume, and he said that before the PCs get to second level, they fight exactly one combat. So it's a lot of social AP, or a lot of social XP. That isn't to say that the entire adventure, you know, the entire path is social, because there will be plenty of people to stab and plenty of monsters to kill.
Scientifically,
Ultimate Intrigue
book out.
Yes, yeah, Ultimate Intrigue.
Probably be a good idea.
We definitely, you know, pulled the trigger on this AP when we did, because Ultimate Intrigue had come out. One of the challenges with Tal'Dorei as an adventuring location is that it's been around for thousands of years. It was the first civilization on Avastan to rise from the cataclysm of Earthfall. And so it's had a long time to clear its borders of monsters. So unlike an AP in Varisia or Osirian or, you know, places where there's more wilderness, Tal'Dorei is pretty much tamed. So you're not going to run into rampaging dragons and things like that. So that lends itself well toward more intrigue-heavy adventures, because you're not going to be out questing to fight the monster. You're going to be doing more fighting of people or of, you know, sabotage and influence and things like that. Yes?
So using Ultimate Intrigue, like, I assume some of that stuff is going to be like very closed down. Like, there won't be a lot of like traveling all over, right?
The
city stuff and things.
AP definitely goes all over Tal'Dorei.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, over the course of it, you'll go from starts in Opara in the Senate. It goes from there to one of the nearby prefectures where Eutropia is trying to consolidate power and get allies behind her. It goes from there to Yanmas, which is in the north in the plains. From there to Zamar in the south, to Axis, which is a bit of travel, and then back to Opara. So it's going to go all over. Because the scope of what you're dealing with are national on scale, you're dealing with influence of people who are operating on that scale. So it would be like you would have to travel to all 50 states to get all the governors behind you, as opposed to, you know, getting all the city council members in one city behind you. So there will be influence and things like that that will come into play, but they'll be on such a large scale that travel will not get in the way of that. But I do believe that at least the plan when I was more involved in the AP was that there would be decisions you would make and influence you would have in the first adventure that would come into play throughout the AP as you need to call in favors and things like that in later volumes up through the sixth.
Okay.
Yes.
Regarding travel to Axis, does that mean that because you're going to a whole new plane, that the AP itself will have more information regarding things like inevitables and axiomites?
I believe there will be more on inevitable. I think there's going to be an ecology of the inevitable. I don't know about axiomites. I'm sure they'll be around, but whether we have a full supporting article on them, I'm not sure.
It'd be cool to see some monsters that were axiomite related.
Yes,
or axiomite adjacent.
Yes, I think that the plan is definitely for there to be a lot of cool new Axis, bestiary entries in that volume, and then we'll also be putting those out in Planar Adventures.
Pretty cool. See, I've always been a big fan of axiomites because you have your Asmar, they're half angels, have your tieflings, half devil, whatever. Axiomites, they're literally law. They bleed equations and they glow.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
So you've talked about Rise of the Rune Lords being part one and this Return of the Rune Lords being part three. Is there going to be any plan to collect the Shattered Star into a single volume to support this?
We certainly don't have plans for that now. Nothing's out of the realm of possibility down the road, but we just released Curse of the Crimson Throne. If we were to go in chronological order, we would not get to Shattered Star for many, many, many years. If we were to skip toward it, maybe, but it's not something that I've heard anything about. I don't. But if people love Return of the Rune Lords and people say we'd love to have a hardcover of Shattered Star and a hardcover of this one, who knows down the road? I mean, anything's possible. Yeah.
Kind of touching on the collection on one, do you have any plans to do any more like Second Darkness, Legacy of Fire, and then the same vein of the older one?
Again, I'd say never. We should never say never because we don't know what we're going to decide to do in the future, but we don't currently have plans.
So, when my group moved into Reign of Winter, we played the Witch War Legacy, so I can give them a taste. And before we played Wrath of the Righteous, we played all the three times through the Diamond City to give them a taste. Can we do more of that, little small modules to give them tastes
on
the Adventure Pass?
We certainly try and do that level of stuff when we can, when it makes sense. In the case of War for the Crown, I would suggest there are certain lore revelations that come as part of Tomb of the Iron Medusa that are going to play a very specific role in the adventure path. So that might be worth playing. It's a 16th level? You wrote it. What level?
14.
So that one is, it's higher level, but it certainly has direct ties to War for the Crown. As far as Rune Lords, I don't know.
And then the
Pathfinder Society is largely trying to fill that niche of connecting to or filling some of the background and setting the flavor up for APs. Now that they're not linking the entire season-long arc to an AP, they're able to tell smaller stories. So there will be, for example, when things go awry in the Senate, there will be a Pathfinder Society scenario that will take place. The PCs in the AP will go off and do one thing. The Pathfinder Society is going to play a role in their absence. So there will be something that you can do, other smaller adventures that will tie in, at least for those, for that AP.
So I was going to say, I know that there was a lot of backlash on the message boards because I frequent the message boards. I don't post as much. I'm more of a lurker these days because it's kind of scary on there sometimes. But there was a lot of backlash on Mythic Adventures. But count me as someone who actually loved that book. I love the old Epic Level Handbook, in fact. I know that it requires a lot of work on a DM. You have to be careful with it. And I was just talking to this gentleman about Mythic stuff earlier. But now you're talking about Return of the Rune Lords going to level 20, and you said there's going to be Mythic level threats in there. but the PCs will not be getting mythic ranks. Is it possible, and you guys may not know this, but do you think Paizo at some point in the future is going to dip their toe back into the mythic waters again?
It's,
maybe try to fix some of the things that they possibly thought were broken with it?
It's possible. I don't know of any actual plans, and I know what the schedule looks like through parts of 2019. But again, I don't want to say that we're not going to do something because, you know, we make things up for a living, so who knows what will come out of that.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know, because I know there's a lot of people that naysay it, but I'm running Rise of the Rune Lords right now, and all my characters have one mythic rank.
Nice.
And I gave my wife the second one as a player, but none of the other players know it. And you're not interested,
so that's okay. And this totally is not being recorded and will be put on a podcast.
I just want to let you guys know that you've
okay.
got at least one book for me.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, when we're not opposed to doing more with Mythic, doing an entire AP with Mythic, like I had mentioned before, about that's 6 months, you know, of stuff, you know. So we may very well do maybe a module that includes Mythic stuff, or here and there include Mythic things as it makes sense. I mean, we have said that some of the Rune Lords were Mythic. They had more, that they were higher than CR20. So even if the PCs don't have Mythic stuff, there will be Mythic, you know, NPCs. And maybe those will be the ones that you befriend.
If you're little one, again.
Yes.
In that same vein of the Mythic, I'm actually running a Wrath of Rises right now. And they haven't gotten their Mythic level yet, but the more I read into Wrath of Rises, the more I get this feeling of, like, you know, it is like a good AP that actually does make the players and the characters feel cool, aside from, you know, usually AP's going like, you know, you're the hero, you did this amazing thing, but at the end of book one, you know, something happens and changes their stats a bit and changes their roles, and that has like a mechanical feeling of, wow, I'm powerful right now, and I don't know what just happened.
Look how strong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, D20 or D12 to my rolls? Nice. And here's the D6. Anyway, I guess what I'm getting to is, whenever the team was writing Wrath of the Righteous, what was the sort of feeling in the meetings and, like, in the writing teams? Like, was it stressful? Was it...
I wasn't involved in those. You were...
I was doing back matter, but, I mean, as far as, like, the experiences of the actual authors...
Yeah.
I'm not too aware of.
Did you write one of those? You didn't write
one. Yeah, and James developed it, so he would be able to...
Yeah. I would ask that question on the message boards, and we'll try and point James to it, and...
Sure.
See if we can get an answer.
And also, I mean, he did a whole lot of, like, the Mythic, Wrath of the Righteous and Mythic Adventures kind of popped at the same time. So
yeah.
They were, the authors were working under, you know, mostly finalized rules. So a lot of the development, am I getting my years off?
No, yeah. They came out at the same time.
It was being built simultaneously. The reasons I actually did them. Dragon's Demand instead of Wrath of the Righteous.
Oh, gotcha.
Because you didn't want to mess with it. Yeah, I mean, that was a Gen Con hardcover that we released, and that was the AP that launched at that point as a way of giving people an adventure to use this new book we just released on. So...
Oh, yeah, so the... Yeah.
So the authors would have been writing it before the rules were finalized, and James would have been developing...
Not entirely, but close.
At least the second one.
Because you don't get Mythic
You don't get
until
Mythic
later.
Until later, yeah. Yeah. I know that James's goal was to make the players feel like movers and shakers in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So that they felt like the essentially demigods that they become over the course of the AP. You know, the events of that are among the most influential in the world. You know, like when people ask, oh, what, you know, tell me a thing about Galarian. Like, one of the first things you're going to say is, yeah, there's this place in the north where there's a giant rift and demons just keep pouring out of it. Like, oh, okay. You know, like, closing that is a huge deal. And so it doesn't make sense for non-mythic players to be doing that. And it's not fun to be supporting characters watching mythic characters do that. So I know that his goal was to make the PCs... big damn heroes.
And I know a lot of people grumble about Mythic. Like,
I mean, rule system aside, and that's entirely unwanted can of worms that I am not going to open right now. From a narrative standpoint, his goal was definitely to give the PCs the perception of being like super powerful.
And he and all the other writers did a very good job on him. I just like read them sometimes. I know they're not that far in the book yet.
Yeah. How are we on time?
We got about 4 minutes.
Okay.
You want to have a 4 minute long question?
Or a 3 minute long question that we can answer in 1 minute. Yeah.
You said in the new Rune Lords there's going to be something to do with time travel, time plane. Is there going to be something to deal with the gap that's going to put a stop to that, to where they can't go?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah, James Jacobs is really not involved in Starfinder at all.
Okay.
We have two different creative teams working on that.
That's what I was wondering. It was, you know, they specifically said the gap cuts off to where nobody remembers anything. It's like,
there's a very good real world reason that the gap exists in world, which is so that players who are still playing Pathfinder don't feel like none of their actions matter because.
Right.
It's already been, we already know what happens to Galarian in 1,000 years. It also clearly defines them as two separate campaign settings. I think that, you know, one of the things about Thassilon is it was the very first ancient civilization that we explored in Pathfinder. I mean, it was in Pathfinder number one was all about Thassilon. So people have been wanting to go back to Thassilon for a long time. So if we do any time travel, we're always going to go back. We're not going to go forward because that paints us into a corner.
Well, I just know by doing players, people are going to want to, hey, oh, we can do this now. And
In your campaign, sure, but.
Oh, no, I wouldn't let them.
Yeah, neither would we. So. All right, I guess I think that's about it.
Okay, any one quick one? Anyone? All right, well, thank you very much for coming here and
letting us
talk at you about
it. We'll see you here next year to talk about even more APs.